All right, to start every single podcast, we're going to start with the guessing game, as always. And George, five picks. I'm going to let you go first. I get five guesses to guess your one thing, whatever it is today.
All right, so how this is our first time doing this on the podcast, so I guess this one's a little bit harder, so I'm going to give it to you as a broader topic, Thanksgiving quarterback.
A Thanksgiving quarterback?
Yes.
Like that's playing this week?
Not necessarily, no, just a Thanksgiving quarterback. Is that your first question?
No, but you have to give me a more realistic like answer. Okay. It's a quarterback in the NFL
that played on Thanksgiving. On one of the teams that always played on Thanksgiving.
We'll okay, I was going to say, because I was like, so obviously is it Matt Stafford?
It is not Matt Stafford.
Okay, that's one down. Are they in the AFC or NFC?
NFC.
Is it on the Lions?
It is on the Lions. You got two more guesses.
Who's played on the Lions of Matt Stafford a lot in a while? Man, I'm gonna need a phone in a friend here. Kitna?
John Kitna is correct. Wow, that was good. John Kitna, Central Washington University and former Seahawk. So, and I thought, you know, nice little Thanksgiving theme guessing game today.
Only reason I would get that is because John Kitna is a Seattle guy, but I got lucky on that one. Okay, we'll take it.
That was a great guess, by the way, but I'm going to just really critique you here real quick. The teams that always play on Thanksgiving are both NFC teams, the Cowboys and the Lions.
Yeah, I figured that out after I asked the question. I was thinking Steelers for some reason, but then I was like, that's not a team that plays always. We have, for me, NFL quarterback that I think should be playing right now.
Jameis Winston.
Wrong.
Oh, okay.
That's one down.
All right, one down. AFC or NFC?
AFC. That's two.
That's two down. Is it Joe Flacco?
Fuck. Yeah, it is. It's Joe Flacco.
Wow. That's so
you figured out right away that it was a backup, not somebody that was like out of the league.
Right. So, well, here's the thing. If you guys were tuning in for some John Kitna and Joe Flacco talk, this is a podcast for you.
What a start. How did we come up with those two names? Like, why Joe Flacco and John Kitna? Nobody came up with to guess a player that's good right now or nothing.
Do you think there's another podcast in the whole entire world that has ever mentioned Joe Flacco and John Kitna in the same episode?
Yes, but maybe not in 2022.
Fair enough.
Because at some point, the name John Kitna came up and Joe Flacco was good for a while. But 2022, 0% chance. Unless John Kitna has a podcast. Because he probably talked about Joe Flacco at some point this year.
All right. That's very fair. That's the only way.
Quick intro, George. Before we get into our topics, we got four questions coming up on this podcast. This is the Sports on Tap podcast. And as recently, we like to say, questioning sports. Always a question. All of our social media. So follow us there at the Sports on Tap on every social media. And if you guys were wondering, I'm Sammy.
And I'm George. And welcome on in.
As a dynamic, if you guys want to know, George is the older brother. I'm the younger brother. So two brothers on this podcast just enjoying life, talking sports and questioning sports. And we got a lot of good stuff today. I want to start, George, with a World Cup type of topic because it is the World Cup. And we're no soccer analytical aficionados, whatever you want to call it. You watch a lot more soccer than I do. But we're going with a more broad topic here because, as you guys all know, Qatar was the one that is hosting the World Cup, maybe by a bribe. I don't know. To each his own. But at the end, basically, what was it? 2 days before?
I think it was 72 hours before is when they really pulled the plug.
72 hours before, they pulled the plug on alcohol. No beer sales, no alcohol sales at the games, which is pretty crazy if you think about it as a major sporting event. And the question is, no beer. Would you want to go to the biggest game of your favorite team? Like the big, let's say it's the Super Bowl, the World Cup of your favorite team with no alcohol? Or would you rather save that money and just watch at home or watch at a bar wherever you may go and be at your own free will? Drink what you want, eat what you want, and be where you want.
Boom. All right. First, I do want to mention about the beer at the World Cup. Did you know that that Budweiser has agreed that the $70 million worth of beer is going to go for free to the country that wins the World Cup to celebrate? Which is kind of a cool little tidbit.
Unless Qatar won. Which they're not going to.
Saudi Arabia, since it's just beat. They also have no use for the beer.
Then they can donate it to somebody else.
Donate it to someone else.
That's a nice move by Budweiser, though. That's a nice move. I mean, like, if someone like the U.S., England would love that.
England would love that. There's so many countries that like beer. I would say more countries like beer than don't like beer. But to the main question, would I rather attend a game than beer? Okay, so here's a factor at play, and we didn't really set parameters on this, right? So can I have some drinks before getting into the match? Or do I have to go completely sober?
Let's say completely sober, because in this example, if you're in Qatar, like staying at one of these FIFA affiliated like huts that they made or something, like you're not getting alcohol probably that mornings from some. I mean, there's not really many bars around the stadiums,
and it's really expensive. Like we're talking about, some places are selling beer for like $25-$26 a beer.
Yeah, because hypothetically, if I got drunk enough at any sporting event, even in America, I might not go buy a beer. Like I've done it. We've done it before in Colombia at a soccer game where we couldn't drink beer, but we were already having a couple of drinks before, so it's fine. But I'm talking like it's the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. It's the Mariners in the World Series. And you have to pay that price, right? That's the one big thing is when you're going to these games, you have to imagine you're paying $1,000 for a decent seat and you can't even have a drink before, during. And now this question might be crazy to those people that don't care for alcohol, but if you care for alcohol, you understand.
Well, there's only one problem with it, and I'm leaning towards right now. I'm telling you, unless you can convince me otherwise, I'm leaning towards I will still go to the game without alcohol because it's like my team's biggest game, and like I really want to be there. But my biggest concern here is my stress level, and alcohol kind of de-stresses you out a little bit. So, but overall, I lean going to the game.
I lean not going because of the money that goes into it. Like, man, if I'm paying $1,000 to go to a game, I better be able to have a beer in hand. And the atmosphere is a big thing. Now, maybe at the World Cup, it doesn't make a difference because these people are cheering for their world, their country. We see soccer fans that are always passionate. I just couldn't imagine an NFL game like in Buffalo, New York. Like if I'm trying to go watch my Seahawks or watch the Seahawks in a Super Bowl against somebody, everyone's dead sober. So maybe this is like an America or like a soccer versus other sports question, because I think with soccer, the passionate fan bases are already like there's not that many people leaving those pits in the middle of a game for a beer. Right. Like in those 45 minutes. So
for example, the Premier League, when I went to the Tottenham Hotspur match in the Premier League, you're not allowed to drink during the game. So like, but you can drink in the hallways, like you can buy the beer, drink it, then 45 minutes. Watch after the 45 minutes are over, you can go back out, have a beer. Everyone's hammered anyway. Like it's like just during those 45 minutes. Like
People need to drink to have those crowds that they have, man. So that's the thing. Right. It just depends, right? It depends on soccer. I think is a weird exception because of the passionate fan base. But you said everyone's already drinking probably before the game. So if it's sober, imagine in London, a Tottenham game completely sober. I don't know if it'd be the same atmosphere.
No, I think, you know, people are worried about fights with liquor. I think if everyone's completely sober, you'd have even more fights.
Yeah, it's going to probably like, especially like England fans right now at the World Cup, bro. Like, I don't know. I just find it crazy. You have Poland and Mexico playing right now, right? Like those countries like to drink. Like that's weird that all those fans have to be there soberly at the game.
I know it's insane. Last question with this one, Bo. I really want to just clarify, because you said the money thing. Let's just say the tickets were free. Which one would you rather do?
I'd just go to the game at that point. Yeah,
you would. Okay, but it's about the cost to fund ratio
but that's not even realistic. This is actually a realistic question, because
I know
they actually banned alcohol at a sporting event, so we're given a realistic question. The free tickets ain't realistic. So unless I guess you're like, I don't know, unless you're like famous people get free stuff everywhere.
Absolutely,
that's possible. Very possible. But World Cup's fun, man. I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully the U.S. can pull out some big victories.
Oh, we really need to. Against England next on Friday. Can't wait.
A good day for it, too, on Black Friday. What do you
Black
know?
Black Friday. It's going to be the blackest Friday in England's history, because we're about to... we already beat them in the Independence War. We're about to beat them in the World Cup war?
I would take that was a nice try. Yeah, the stutter on it was like, it would have been better if that was delivered well. But you also, true, I want you to pump the brakes on talking shit about England, because at this point we just tied with Wales. They beat Iran 6-2. The last thing we need is to talk crap about them. Let's just play the cool, like, oh, they're probably going to beat us way.
Yeah, the wily underdogs.
Yeah, oh, they're probably going to beat us and just see what happens type of way. I'm in the non-talking crap about England, like, mode for this game, because I'm actually, I feel like they're not going to win. That's why. All right, let's move on to question number two. And this one was brought up because the Las Vegas Raiders, they did get a win this week, but that was against probably the fucking stupidest team in football, aka Russell Wilson led Denver Broncos. But there was talks about firing Josh McDaniels, their coach. But there was reports that they can't afford it. And we've always talked about the Raiders having money issues, right? They're really like one of the most broke franchises. Mm-hmm. They can't.
And they have the brokest owner in the NFL.
Yeah, his money's just based off the Raiders. He wasn't like a businessman.
I know. So poor, man. He's only worth like $1 billion with the Raiders.
Still the brokest. He didn't have the money to fire Josh McDaniels, McDaniel, whatever it is. So it brought us to the question. What right now, not in all time, but right now, the top five most dysfunctional sports organizations? And let's just go American sports, because like I'm not going to know like cricket or soccer teams, but like just
So you're telling me the Bangladesh Tigers, I can't talk about them?
Correct. And no Shanghai Sharks.
Shanghai Sharks.
they've signed Jimmer Fredette too many times, but they don't get the bill of the most
dysfunctional. They keep paying the luxury tax on Jimmer, man. We try to tell them.
Tough organization. Let's just go like NFL, NBA, baseball, right? Because those are the ones we're going to know. Top five.
All right now.
This is tough.
Right now. Okay.
Because like the Lions would have came up pretty quickly, but they're actually like playing good right now. And like things are going on the up, right? There's a lot of teams where you can look at it and think about like the last couple of years they've been bad, or this time it's been bad. And even the first one that came to my mind, George, was the Washington Commanders, right? Because they're like,
oh, that's an easy one. I don't know how I didn't even think of that one.
But they're also on a 4-game winning streak. But we can't take a 4-game winning streak and ignore the organizational issues, right?
You totally can, right? We're like, you know, they're on a 4. You know, it's kind of funny. It's been like ever since Daniel Snyder said he's going to sell the team, like the morale just went up and they went on a 4-game winning streak. Kind of ironic, huh?
I'm telling you, that's why the Detroit Lions were on my mind. They've won 4 straight, right? The Detroit Lions as well.
Three or four, something like that.
I'm pretty sure it's 4. I could be wrong, but I think it's 3 or 4. But like, it's kind of crazy. You think about it, like, that automatically takes you from thinking about a bad franchise or like bad organization to like, hey, well, they're figuring it out right now. And like, that's what happened with me with the Washington Commanders. But I think they have to be there, right? On that top five list in America. Like if you ask anybody that's in the sport of business, don't you think they would probably bring up the Commanders as one of those top five?
Yeah, I think they totally would. Let's keep them on there for now unless we find a way to jump them off. But I think you're absolutely right. They have to be in the top five most dysfunctional. I mean, I've only seen like 55 lawsuits about them and 55 literally stories about how dysfunctional they are. So I think we can say they're dysfunctional.
Yeah, they got to fit the bill there somewhere.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw the New York Knicks out as one of the most dysfunctional organizations in sports. They're definitely... For a team out of New York, a team of the brand that is the New York Knicks, to never have... I don't even know when it was the last time they made the Eastern Conference Finals. They didn't do it with Carmelo Anthony. I think it was 98 was the last time they made it back in a shortened season. I mean, it's been 24 years since they've done anything resembling like competing for a championship. And their owner rather playing his a cappella band than run the team. They hired...
I think it's a jazz band.
Is it a jazz band?
I don't know.
So, overall, the Knicks have to be there.
Yeah, the only reason I struggle with the Knicks is I feel like a lot of the hate on the Knicks is because of what they're supposed to be and not because, like, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, if this was a team in Detroit, we'd just be like, oh, they've been okay here and there. But because it's the Knicks is why we resemble them as a bad organization, where in reality right now, like today, the team across the bridge in Brooklyn might be even more dysfunctional than the New York Knicks today, because we're talking about right now, right? So it's like,
so you make a good point. You make a compelling point here. So you're saying if we move the New York Knicks organization and we call them the Orlando Magic, or Memphis Grizzlies, we'd just be like, all right, it's kind of a shitty team. But that's about it.
We wouldn't pay during Carmelo era, right? Like they haven't had any lawsuits or like, right? They haven't had any.
They had the Isaiah Thomas one, but that was years ago.
Yeah. So that's where I struggle, because if we're talking right now, also, like, first of all, that's what's interesting, right? Because we could like say a team's dysfunctional because of their location and they're supposed to be good. Like the Jets is another one. But who do you find more dysfunctional today? Like in November, what's today? November 22. 2022. Oh, that was cool. 11-11-2-2-2-2. Who's more dysfunctional today, the Knicks or the Nets?
Like just the day, like you said, November 22nd. Yeah, you'd have to say the Nets. But I mean, we can't just look at it as a one day sample size, right? I mean, if we asked this like 2 years ago when they signed Kyrie and Durant, you'd be like, oh, they're on the right track. They're able to get free agents. I mean, I think that's really the biggest problem with the Knicks is that no one even wants to sign with the Knicks, right? I mean, I say that's the biggest problem with the Knicks. They can't even land a major free agent. So I think we have to have the Knicks on the list, and only because we want the Knicks to be good, right? Everyone cares about the Knicks, and even with all the care in the world, they're not able to go out and do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, like I can't argue with too much. Like it is the Knicks. I agree. I just, when I say right now, it just keeps bringing my mind to Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and the drama that goes on in the Nets organization. But you do have to add expectations and like what's
in longevity of being
dysfunction.
Yeah.
Like if they weren't dysfunctional right this second, or if they were like been undysfunctional for 2-3 years, I would cross the Knicks off the list. But I mean, like they were just as dysfunctional a year or two ago. Like they've been firing GMs, changing head coaches, you know, their owner, everyone wants their owner to sell the team. So they're still dysfunctional, even though they're playing okay basketball, right? It's not just about on the court. So we got the Knicks and the Commanders. I feel like those two are good starts. I do want to...
You have to add the Raiders that you began with, too.
That's what I was about to say. I want to circle back to the Raiders.
Yeah. Circle back to them.
Because they are... Forget the Dan Snyder stuff for a second, because I think that's just one piece of the dysfunction, or that's the single piece of dysfunction in Washington. I don't know if there's multiple pieces, but I think it's just one. I think the dysfunction in Vegas has been like ongoing for the last 5 years, like
even before Al Davis himself was dysfunctional, not just Mark Davis. Al Davis was dysfunctional.
I agree, but I guess when we're talking about like who's the most dysfunctional right now, I agree, because we did talk about longevity, but I'm just talking, even this last like 2-3 years, from the John Gruden drama to the owner always being dysfunctional to the moving of the team, right, leaving their city, to Henry Ruggs getting 25 years in prison for like an accidental murder, to Antonio Brown, like, you remember freezing his feet off and not showing up to training camp. Not just like they've had it from players to coaches to ownership to relocating, and the relocation you could say is not dysfunction, I understand, but to relocate, there was probably a reason you're relocating because of the dysfunction you had in Oakland, right?
Think about this. They were dysfunctional in Oakland. You're right.
Yeah.
And then to make matters worse, they took the most dysfunctional organization maybe in football at the time, Oakland, and moved it to the city that just would...
The city of dysfunction.
Dysfunction and temptation for dysfunction in Vegas. They have to be on that list of the top
100%. And don't get me wrong, I love Las Vegas. I know you do too.
Yeah, I go there to get dysfunctional.
Yeah, I go there to lose money, to get too drunk, to end up somewhere on accident, and to come home with a lot of regrets.
Yeah, the point of me going there is to get dysfunctional.
Yeah. It literally, and that's what happens there. So I think that, and they didn't do a retractable roof. Pure dysfunction.
Yeah. Oh, that's so dysfunctional. Okay, so we have three so far. It's really hard to find five. Like, for the most part, like, teams are well-run.
Okayly run. Oh, I have one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And it's the place we live right now.
The Minnesota Twins?
No. It's the place we live right now, and it is a team that's been playing really well, which hides all the problems, but they're being sold, the Phoenix Suns. They've been the most dysfunctional NBA team, probably like in terms of production, in terms of ownership, in terms of now the owner, you know, being caught saying the N-word multiple times and being forced to sell the team. It's like the Clippers 2.0 of like the Donald Sterling situation.
You know what? I agree with you completely here. I mean, you know, the only thing that hid the dysfunction was signing Chris Paul. I love Devin Booker and stuff, but he wasn't, you know, the world's biggest winner until Chris Paul came.
18 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we basically brought in, I own the team. They brought in Chris Paul, and that masked
me and my general manager group.
Me and my general masked the dysfunction. And then I'm going to add a fifth one, Ben. Are you ready for this?
Is it going to be the Clippers?
No, it's going to be the Lakers. The Lakers have been the most dysfunctional franchise since Kobe Bryant. And after he left, there were absolute dysfunction. Jeannie Buss is dysfunctional. Her brother's dysfunctional. LeBron James masked the dysfunction to win a championship. It didn't make them functional. They just had one of the best players in history of the sport come in and mask the dysfunction.
This one's hard for me. And I agree with you 110% about all the dysfunction. My only concern with that one is, let's go back to the four other teams we named, okay? Mm-hmm. The Phoenix Suns haven't won shit. The Raiders haven't won shit since, 2000? What was the year, was it?
The Raiders didn't even win. They lost in 2000. Bay, I don't think they've won since the 80s.
Yeah, they haven't won since the 80s. The Knicks haven't won since when? 90? Not even. Yeah. 80s? They lost in the 90s.
They lost in the 70s with Phil Jackson. Bro.
Exactly. Have the Commanders ever won? Redskins? Who?
80s and 90s.
So we just went through all four of those teams. The Suns have never won, and the other three haven't won since the 70s, 80s, or 90s. Mm-hmm. The Lakers won in 2020. So that's where the only hard part of the dysfunction for me comes, because I do actually think they're probably number five, right?
I think so. Like, think about it like this. Could you be a billionaire family and still have dysfunction?
Yes, but why is there a difference between those three that we just went, like, what makes it so, how those other ones haven't won in combined like 100 years if you add up 2020, 2020?
Right. Like, because none of them had the second greatest player in history, or first, if I'm not going to make this an argument right now. I think he's second. Yeah. Some people think he's first, but none of them had the second best player in the history of their sport on that team.
That's fair. I don't know if I can argue it. I was just giving you another thought of like, okay, but they did win 2 years ago, and all those other teams haven't won in 20 to 30 to 40 years. So I'm just trying to, I agree. I think the Lakers might be number five. I'm just trying to think for like another minute really quickly. Is there anyone we're missing in baseball? Baseball doesn't really have dysfunction.
I mean, the Yankees could be dysfunctional, but like they're not.
Yeah, they just don't win. They just don't, like, you know, I guess they don't like play up to their expectations every
Maybe
year.
Maybe the Angels, because they spend so much money and haven't won. But like, do you ever sit there and like, man, that franchise is so dysfunctional?
No, because no one cares about them. Also,
yeah, because no one gives a shit. Like, you have to. I think the problem with the dysfunction meter is like you have to actually care about the teams. Like, maybe the Tampa Bay Rays are dysfunctional. They're not, but I'm just saying, for example. But no one gives a shit.
Actually,
about
very
them.
Functional, yeah.
They're very functional, but no one cares about them. Like, I'm just not, this is the Browns
more dysfunctional. I think they might be than the Lakers. They just signed Deshaun fucking Watson.
They're pretty dysfunctional, but like, once again, like,
it's just you don't care about them as much. Yeah. That's the only reason.
So, for example, we're not going to bring any European teams in this, but the Manchester United just like today tore up Cristiano Ronaldo's contract. They're on their fifth coach in 6 years. They haven't been in the Champions League in years. They're really like dysfunctional. But they're still like a top 3-4 team in England, but people have a different expectation for them. People have a different expectation for the Lakers. They don't care that the Lakers won the championship 2 years ago. They care, like, what are you doing for me now? And I think with the Cleveland Browns made the AFC championship game a couple of years ago, I think, or they got to the second round, people celebrated on the streets. So there's expectations to the dysfunction meter.
I agree. But I would go personally another team like a Cleveland Browns, but I'll give you the Lakers on the list because it is very, outside of that bubble championship, it's been pretty much chaos. So right. And they matter so much more than the Cleveland Browns. So I'll give it to you.
It's like the Knicks, them and the Knicks. Yeah.
It's them and the Knicks. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. Where they're like well, they could be that dysfunctional, but or they could, there could be more dysfunctional teams out there. But because you are the Knicks and because you are the Lakers, you guys are there. And then you have the Commanders, the Raiders, the Suns. They're just fucked up ownership groups. Pretty much.
Exactly. Pretty much right? Fucked up groups. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
Pretty simple. All right. Which one's the worst? Which one's the worst out of them all?
I think it has to be the Commanders.
I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I think they're all pretty. I know it's not the Lakers or Knicks.
Yeah, or Suns. The Suns is just because of the, what was his name?
Sarver.
Okay, thank you. Robert Sarver situation. So and the Browns are close. The Browns are close. They have been dysfunctional for a long time while also signing a sexual predator. So
that doesn't help.
That's close. Doesn't help. All right. That was good. That was harder than I thought, though.
Me too. It looks like I'm just going to leave it at this. It looks like there's a lot more functional owners than dysfunctional owners. And I guess that's why they're billionaires.
Yeah. Or we also just care about the big cities way more than the other teams. Also,
that's also true.
All right. Because I was going to say one more thing, but I don't want to hate on my teams. So never mind. All right. One more thing before we get into a holiday topic, George.
Yep.
I'm going to have to read this off to you, okay? Because I'm going to read this one off my phone because it's where I put the picture. This is a... I'm going to rephrase it then, but does this tell you more about Aaron Rodgers or about Kirk Cousins? All right. We have Aaron Rodgers has 3 wins in his entire career when trailing by at least 10 plus points in the fourth quarter. 3. Kirk Cousins has 3 of those this season and has back-to-back wins on the road or had back-to-back wins on the road after trailing by 10 plus in the fourth quarter. So with that said, Aaron Rodgers is 3-45 in his career when trailing by 10 in the fourth quarter.
Loser.
Kirk Cousins, 3 of those comebacks this year, and he has 5 fourth quarter comebacks this season. And as you reframed it when we were discussing this podcast, not only does that tell you more about Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, also is Kirk Cousins one of the most underrated quarterbacks we've seen in a while that gets too much hate? And is Aaron Rodgers one of the most overrated quarterbacks that we've had in this generation?
Okay, that's a good way to phrase it, because I wouldn't go out on a limb and say Aaron Rodgers is the most overrated quarterback in our generation, but he's definitely fucking overrated.
Yes.
So tired of, like, I remember when him and Brady squared off, like, GOAT versus GOAT. By the way, GOAT means greatest of all time. It doesn't mean maybe the 5th or 6th or 7th or 8th greatest of all time. And then Kirk Cousins, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy. But he's not a problem.
Whoa. Don't hate on my guy.
I know, but no, he's much better than people give him credit to. That draft class was Robert Griffin, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins. If you told me the year is 2022 and the one who's playing the best right now is Kirk Cousins, and you gave me 10 plus whatever odds, I'd say there's no fucking way. But here he is. He's the best one out of a 4 at this moment. I'm not saying he has the best career. Russell Wilson does. But he's the best one right now.
I was going to say, it might sound insane, but there's a chance. And it's actually not that bad. It's not that, like, unrealistic, but there's a chance if Russell Wilson continues to be as bad as he has been and Kirk Cousins seemingly gets better every single year to this point, right? There's a chance that out of Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Russell Wilson, and Kirk Cousins, he ends up with the best career out of all of them. And I don't think it takes a Super Bowl, because I think we've discussed this many times, but the Russell Wilson Super Bowl is not necessarily 100%. It wasn't the Tom Brady type of Super Bowl. It was a lot it was a young guy winning a Super Bowl with a really good defense who he should get a lot of credit for, but he's not like the Super Bowl MVP quarter. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Kirk Cousins, if he just goes another like 6 years, 5 years of being really good, maybe takes the Vikings to a couple, an NFC championship or two, or maybe one Super Bowl, and if they lose it, could you argue that he has the best career out of those 4 guys if he continues
that? You could totally argue it. I'm not saying it's, like you said, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to happen, but could I argue that? Absolutely could argue that, and I don't mind arguing that. Honestly, I wonder, if Russell Wilson's career ended right now, and I don't know how we got to Russell Wilson, but I usually somehow find a way to talk shit about him.
You talked about the draft class.
Yeah, the draft class. I always find a way to talk shit about him during every podcast. Oh, really? So it only took till the 29-minute mark today. I think if Russell Wilson's career ended today, right, and it's over, he's not a Hall of Famer. I think if Kirk Cousins keeps playing like this for 4 or 5 more years, and like you said, takes the Vikings to a Super Bowl or wins a Super Bowl, I don't think he will do any of that, but he could end up in the Hall of Fame and be the only Hall of Famer out of that draft class.
I think Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer, personally. But honestly, maybe this collapse changes it all. So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either.
That's a tough one. And I don't know if Kirk's ever going to be a Hall of Famer, no matter what he does.
And Aaron Rodgers is definitely a Hall of Famer. Just
obviously. I will say Kirk is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. He gets a lot of hate for being there, but there's so many quarterbacks, bro, that take you to the first round and lose. Like, people love Dak Prescott. It's the same shit as Kirk Cousins. People love, like, there's so
Dak
many guys.
Prescott is Kirk Cousins.
Literally the same player. Yeah. And Kirk is like, might be better because
I think Kirk's a little
better. He doesn't get hurt. Yeah. So there's that. And then with the Aaron Rodgers side for me, I hate using the word overrated for Aaron Rodgers. I think you said that at the beginning, right? Like, you don't want to use the word overrated completely because we don't.
He's so damn good.
Yeah, he's a top 10 quarterback of all time, probably. But he has so many flaws as a teammate. And I feel like, I don't want to say as a human because I don't know him. But like, just as like an off the field, the eye rolling, the just seemingly like.
He has leadership flaws, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Thank you. I don't want to like say anything bad on the dude. I don't know the guy, right? Yeah. I just mean like from what we know, it's like a Kyrie Irving situation, right? From what we know, it seems like there's issues in the locker room with ownership, with just
it seems like him and Kyrie would get along well.
I don't know. Two guys like that might really hate each other.
That's a good point. Or
if they're in the same locker room. If they're in the same locker room. But I guess they probably do get along because they don't have to like work together.
Yeah, maybe just a dinner together.
Yeah, dinner. Dinner's work. But he's the most not overrated, but overhyped and over like try to compare to Tom Brady type of player ever.
I think I have it. His greatness is the most over exaggerated out of any quarterback in history.
Not his talent. That's fair. Yeah. But shout out to Kirk Cousins. That's all I was going to say. I know they're 8-2 now. They lost to the Cowboys, but he definitely had a turnaround from having two franchise tags from the Washington Commanders because they didn't want them, and then got the first ever fully guaranteed contract with the Vikings and end up signing an extension. Now they're 8-2, which puts them at second in the NFC after the Eagles, I believe.
But somehow, some way, 8-2 with a negative point differential.
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, that's pretty crazy if you ask me.
But what is their point differential? Do you know what it is? I heard it's
-2. It's not much.
That's because they lost by like 30 this week. So if they
lost to the Eagles this week, and remember they lost to the Eagles, it was like by 30 as well.
Okay, so if you take away those, like if you made those games 10-point games, they probably have like a +40.
Yeah, of course. It's just weird. Like it's hard to go 8-2 and have a negative point differential.
No, I agree. But they did get blown out twice.
Yep.
That means they're winning the other games by like 2.
Yeah.
Good for them. That's all I got. Good for them. Good for Kirk, man. Let my Kirk praise happen. Last topic, my friend, before we get going. It is Thanksgiving weekend. It is a holiday weekend. So shout out to everyone spending time with their families. And shout out to those that listen to this podcast on a holiday week. We are going to do, in honor of Thanksgiving, the top 8 holidays. So, George, how do we begin with? What are your or our top 8 holidays ranked?
All right. Well, like we told you before this, me and you talked about before this podcast, like everyone does like, oh, Thanksgiving food rankings, you know, would build your perfect Thanksgiving meal. We want to do something a little different. That's why we're going with a holiday ranking. Not a sports on tap. We're giving you the 8 best holidays. Why 8? Well, we're going to do the college football top 4, like 4, but that's like way too easy and too obvious. So we have to get it up to 8. All right, so number one.
I mean, Christmas.
I mean, yeah, do we rank them or are we just giving 8? I say we rank them.
Let's rank them. That's what I'm saying. Number one, Christmas.
Christmas, easy. Simple. Christmas, great. You get presents. I mean, no one needs an explanation here.
I'm fucking drinking coffee out of a Christmas cup right now because it's Christmas. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, but people love Christmas.
All right. Yeah, I love it. Number two, I think this is going to be a little bit controversial for us. I think number two has to be Thanksgiving, not New Year's. And I have a reason why.
Okay, why?
Okay. I love New Year's, but Thanksgiving kicks off the holiday season. New Year's ends the holiday season.
That's fair. I mean, I was going to say Thanksgiving too anyways. So.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. The reason Thanksgiving's too, it's the... And forget religion. I'm not trying to make this a religious podcast, but for a lot of these holidays, Easter, Christmas, a lot of people have to go to church, do different things. Like our family, you know, we're a Christian family, so we go to church for certain holidays. Right. Thanksgiving, I don't got to do shit. I stay at home. I don't have to change. I eat food and I watch football. I'm not missing games because of church. I'm not being told what to do. The only thing would be if you have a lot of family in town or friends in town, you might come together for that Thanksgiving, but it's always at home and the people drink wine, eat food, and watch sports. And there's not these.
And in our case, smoke a lot of hookah.
And hookah. So there's no extracurriculars outside of the house. Like there's not like you have to go here, you got to do this, you got to buy a bunch of presents. And that's like whether you're in a good financial place, a bad financial place. Like Thanksgiving is just about eating, drinking, and football. Yeah, is there anything better?
No, nothing. And like I said, it kicks off the holiday season.
Yeah, it kicks it off. It really, it is. You're right. It kicks it off. And then the day Thanksgiving starts, like until New Year's.
Everyone is just a piece of shit for the rest of the year.
Yeah, like eating, drinking, taking off work, not really doing much. Like not really. I would not say a piece of shit. That was going to be the opposite of what I said. I said everybody's a fucking the happiest person in the world.
I know, but what I mean by that is like you can literally eat and drink and it's like no judgment zone. It's amazing.
I guess. Yeah. Well, but like for those that don't drink, let's say at that point, Thanksgiving is just the time where everyone's just happy for the next month and a half. The only time everyone's just happy for like 40 days straight and people are off work. The streets are a little more packed. Malls are fun. It's just a vibe. It's absolutely literally a vibe. So vibes. Shout out to Thursday, bro. Shout out to Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, I think number three is New Year's, right? I mean, I think after that, unless you have something better.
There's only two I could put at number three. It'd be either New Year's or 4th of July.
Okay, that's where my rankings are too. Well,
did you have 4th of July at number three?
No, I had 4th of July at number four, both because I think it's 4th and more symbolically, the 4th of July, 4th place of holidays. Like I just kind of was getting symbolic with it.
See, I would put it at three. And the reason I put it at three, first and foremost, we're in high, high, high celebration of the United States right now in the World Cup. I'm feeling very festive. I'm feeling very prideful of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I think the nice thing about that, this is a counter to what we kind of, or kind of goes to what you were saying, how Thanksgiving kicks off the holiday season. Well, 4th of July is like that one holiday we get in the middle of the year that's just like a nice little, a holiday.
Yeah, I call it the celebration of summer.
Yeah, like
Memorial Day kicks off summer. 4th of July is a celebration of summer.
Yeah, and Memorial Day is cool, but it's not as much of a celebration. I feel like it's more of a good break, a good holiday, or a good like time.
Yeah, Memorial Day is the Thanksgiving of 4th of July. Like what Memorial
Way
Day
less
is to Christmas?
Exciting.
Way less exciting.
More
but like,
meaningful,
yeah.
Maybe. Like for those, like, you know, it is a meaningful holiday. I'm not trying to shit on like Memorial Day, but I just mean in terms of there's nothing festive about it. Like in terms of like for those top four with Christmas. Yeah. Thanksgiving, New Year's, and 4th of July, and there's one more, which is Easter that we'll get to. Those are the only ones that I think are festive. Right? Oh, Halloween. Jesus Christ. There's a lot of holidays.
Halloween's I was going to get to here soon. Okay. But I'm with you. Put 4th of July at third.
Yeah. I think it's a great holiday. Put it at three.
Okay. And then is New Year's going at four, or are you with me? I think New Year's is overrated in general.
I think it's overrated. I personally put Halloween at number four.
Okay, and I'm with that. It's my birthday. You get candy and it's not like you have to pay a shit ton of money to do a stupid party that you don't even want to go to.
That's where I was getting to. Number one, it's in that middle of the like Thanksgiving. I guess Halloween kind of kicks off holiday season if you want to be honest here for a second.
Now, it's like the teaser, right? Like,
one day, here you go. You don't really get a day off work.
But like now start thinking about it. Let's start thinking about the holidays.
Like enjoy this day, even though you don't get it off work, but like, you know what's coming. You're about to get some days off soon and different things.
Okay, so, but before we put Halloween at number four over New Year's, I'm going to make just a very quick argument for Labor Day. Labor Day to me is like this.
I was about to shoot it down before you even started. Labor Day, I don't even know what day Labor Day is.
It's that last, it's the first Monday in September always, but that always means football season is starting.
Yeah, but see, that's not how holidays work. For us, that would work, but that's just not how like the rest of the world sees a holiday.
Okay, so what, I mean, that's fine. So we're going Halloween 4 and then New Year's 5?
Yeah, that's easy. Okay. Those are obviously the top 5. I mean, I think there's no argument unless you're extremely Christian and you're going to be offended that Easter is not at 5.
No, but I want to put Easter at 6. I still think it's a good holiday. It's a good break because there's not many holidays between New Year's and Easter. So it's like, oh, it's we got a holiday here. It's usually spring break, beginning of spring, it kicks off spring.
And it's one of those that remind me of Christmas slightly, that even though it's a religious holiday, even if you don't believe in that religion or don't celebrate that religion, you would still like, you can still go give your kid a little candy Easter bunny or like take him to the mall and take a picture with a bunny. And Christmas is the same thing, whether you're, you know, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, something else, like people go look at Christmas lights, right? Even
if
it's not in terms of religion, just for fun.
Absolutely. And then, when you're growing up and stuff and you start going to high school and college and stuff, like that means like skirt season's there for the guys out there. Like that Easter, you know, everyone's getting in skirts.
There's no way you just said that.
It's true, though. Like, let's be honest with us. Yeah, guys love that time of year.
You and Deshaun Watson, my man.
That's not a massage. No. That was funny, though. You got me there. No, but in general, people like that, man. Like, let's be honest. And a lot of guys listening to this podcast are going to be like, yeah, he's right. That's when, like, you know, people are starting to dress a little nicer. Guys are going to the gym, get their tank tops on. There are people trying to show off. It's a great time of year.
I'm not going to say no, but I just can't believe what just came out of your mouth. But I'm not going to say no. I just can't believe that just came out. It came from your. I can't believe your brain cycled that up and got it to your mouth and then out into the public. Like, I just can't believe that's what you came up with.
I mean, it wasn't that important to me because it was my 6th favorite holiday, not my first. But like, yeah, I mean, it was a nice plus. It's a bonus.
We only got 2 left, my friend. And I think there's one that we have to slip in there that we didn't even bring up yet.
Oh, I know. Columbus Day, big times.
Yeah, huge day. Huge day. We got to bring up. Take a guess.
Memorial Day.
No. There's one that we're missing that I know a lot of people will think this is one of them, and I agree. It's just only for half the people, which is Valentine's Day. Because Valentine's Day is...
Hallmark holiday.
No, it's actually a great holiday. A lot of people enjoy it, love, and then as a kid, it's a really fun holiday because you get all the cards. As a kid, Valentine's Day was one of my favorite holidays because you'd buy those stupid like packs of like Pokemon Valentine's cards, and somebody would buy like the one with like Winnie the Pooh, and then you have all those, you have to write the cards. As a kid, how exciting was it to see if you were getting a Valentine's Day card from one of those girls?
Okay, so if you saw my face, like I just turned pale white, Sammy. Unfortunately, when I was a child, I was not the cutest looking kid. You know, as a 9-10-year-old, I had a mustache. I was a little overweight. You're a good-looking kid. You're my little brother, I'll have to admit. Girls had crushes on you. No fucking girl had a crush on me when I was 9 or 10 years old.
You still got Valentine's Day cards. Everyone got them. They were
got them. But no, some guys got like special ones, like the kids at school who were good. I always like got nervous during Valentine's Day. No, because no one really had a crush on me. So it was kind of like a little PTSD holiday for me. I wasn't a big fan of Valentine's Day growing up.
This poor guy is still single. This is the issue.
We can put it on there if you want.
It has to be like 7 or 8. I mean, I'm just going to keep this simple.
Put it at 8 for me just because like how much it hurt me as a child. And just remember, everyone listening, this is not, I would not rank it even in my top 10 personally.
Yes, you would. There's zero argument. There's zero. Like, there's zero argument to. Like,
I was hurt during it all the time.
Veterans Day, Columbus Day,
being more important to me?
Valdez. Okay, no, it's not.
So
you,
here's the thing.
You can't even name when Columbus Day is. Go. Exactly. Okay. So.
All right. But no, here, freeze, here, like
the mouth open job.
There is a lot of people out there who get really hurt every Valentine's Day, and they're lonely. That's my problem with it. It's a holiday where a lot of people are not celebrating because they're lonely.
I agree. But that doesn't matter. It still outdoes it. That's like saying you can't do Christmas because it's for one religion. Like, that's just how life works.
Okay. I'm not a Valentine's Day. It's number eight. Only for it's American, number eight.
So it doesn't,
I know,
matter.
But this is an all-American podcast, baby. All right. So number eight. That's number eight. Number seven, we have to. It has to be Memorial Day. It has to take precedent over Labor Day because Memorial Day kicks off the summer and Labor Day ends the summer, and people have to go.
No
back
disagreement.
To
I love Memorial Day.
Okay.
I can't disagree.
This is a great ranking, I think. I think this is a perfect one. Can you recap it?
That's eight names. You really want to recap it?
I'm trying to remember if I remember what it was. That's why
it was Christmas. I don't know. It's not going to be compelling if I try to recap this, but I think it was Christmas, Thanksgiving,
Halloween. No, Fourth of July,
Halloween, New Year's,
Easter,
Memorial Day, Valentine's Day.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm so sorry for the choppy recap.
No worries, man.
I'm not saying sorry to you. I'm saying to people listening.
I don't think anyone's mad at you. I'm just going to be honest.
Very choppy. All right. Well, that's all we got. It's Thanksgiving week. We'll let the people go celebrate with their families. Please, as always, show us love. We appreciate everybody on here, George.
Oh, we really do. Yeah. And if you don't have a Valentine's next year, like insist, just hit me up. I'll say happy Valentine's Day to you.
If you don't have a Valentine's, it's a you problem. Or you want to be single. Maybe it's not a you problem. So either way, I think it's a win-win.
Fair enough.
Or work on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Either work on yourself or be happy being single. I was single last Valentine's Day, wasn't I? I don't know.
Nope,
I think I was.
Nope.
No, I wasn't. But whatever. Like, I'd be fine being single. I don't even like Valentine's Day, George. You know that. Like, I don't really care.
I know you don't. So I was surprised you were so adamant you wanted it in your rankings.
Because it's you got to be realistic. Just because we don't like things doesn't mean it's not on there. You know what I'm saying? Well, much love. Follow us everywhere at The Sports on Tap as always. And make sure, if you like betting on sports, hit us up. Daily Fantasy app, Prize Picks. Use promo code SONT, S-O-N-T. And at the end of the day, I have two things to say. One is that I'm Sammy. He's George, and you know what we like to say.
Thanks for stopping by.
Peace.